Hey, hey, what's going on, grandkids? Welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. Why is it special this time? Why? Because it's Eric and Dusty. Dusty, what's going on, man?
Boing, boing, boing.
I love the random tones that come from your mouth.
Oh, this audio and every other audio is dedicated in loving memory to R-Truth.
That's right, the recently deceased R-Truth.
Yes.
Blown up in a terrible skit on Monday Night Raw. During a terrible Monday Night Raw at the hands of the completely inept writers who wish they could do comedy television on the subpar level of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Which, think about that.
Yeah. When you can't even write a Saturday Night Live skit as well as that shitty show itself.
Right.
You shouldn't even be in television.
The only way Raw would have been worse is if they had prominently featured Keenan.
Exactly the same character in every single sketch.
Right, he does the same voice, no matter what, and he always fucks up. What up with that? It's what up with that, not what's up with that. Fucking penisless fuck. Get it right. Learn a new voice. Or start bagging my fucking groceries, you unfunny fuck!
And the worst part is he probably came up with that skit. Because, I mean, writers, the cast members come up with their own stuff all the time. He probably came up with what up with that and screws it up on a weekly basis because he sucks.
Right.
Not to mention, he has the same character and uses the same voice, even when he's playing a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? How does that translate?
How is that a woman's voice in any way, you know?
Yeah. It's like the most discount version of a Bill Cosby voice you've ever heard.
Yeah, he's like he's like a triple Z version of Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm.
Who's a terrible actor? How about that fucking kid from Twilight, the kid that plays the werewolf?
Okay, yeah, he's horrible. Mm-hmm.
It's like if that kid tried to do an impression of Elvin trying to do an impression of Cliff Huxtable.
Yes! Yeah.
Just no business even trying.
Yep.
Fucking asshole.
We're gonna
try to do better than Saturday Night Live here. And we're going to start off the discussion with, we're going to start talking about NXT, which I'm kind of jazzed about because for the first time, honestly, since the first episode of the show, I finally got to catch an entire episode at the time that it aired, so I'm just full of opinions.
Oh, jeez. You got some opinions before you.
That's right. And the first one, okay, actually, as I do, I'm going to pose questions. You know, also, but then what I'm probably going to do is preface those questions by babbling on incessantly with my own retarded opinion.
Leading the witness, Your Honor.
Yeah, I rest my case. Oh, that means you're finished. Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Case dismissed.
Oh, Phil Hartman.
Yeah, I'd rather all these shows be in honor and tribute of Phil Hartman and not R-Truth.
No shit.
The Phil Hartman Comedy Hour, brought to you by Stunt Granny. Anywho, next...
Well,
NXT...
You might remember us such audios as TNA is shit. And fuck TNA.
That's so awesome. Oh my God. Well, okay, so NXT started this week, as it tends to do, with Matt Stryker introducing the 8 rookies and telling us that they were going to take part in a jousting contest.
Ouch.
Now, for those of us, who grew up watching American Gladiators, of course we recognize the joust competition as something that Jem and I would fucking kill you in 2 seconds or less.
Oh, my God, would be amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was absolutely the king of the joust. And as we would get older, we would also recognize this shitty inflatable version as something that would show up at cakewalks or church bingo or fucking stupid orientation at college.
Yep. You know how fast I beat it out of there once I realized that's what orientation was?
That's awesome. You just
it's
made
like, well, my mom's
track.
Calling me. I gotta go. I'm sorry.
That's awesome. Well, unfortunately, actually, one of the guys from NXT did that last night.
Yep.
Michael Tarver. Possibly the one considered one of the worst of the contestants, Michael Carver, decided to pull a Dusty and made tracks when this fucking discount inflatable joust showed up.
I would definitely put him in the bottom three.
Okay. Along with who? Who would you consider bottom three?
Actually, now that I think about it, bottom two, because him and Skip Sheffield are definitely at a layer below everyone else, I would say.
They're down there with the barnacles and the scum.
I
don't mind Skip Sheffield, but out of eight, I would probably put him at seven or eight.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when I watched the guy last night, he's got a weird charisma about him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, kind of.
He's got a couple of catchphrases, like the yup, yup, do it up, or whatever the fuck he says.
See, but I was talking to Jason about this, our old friend Jason. It's sort of like, I don't know, he's just like a manual kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
He's sort of like a big version of Christopher Daniels. He knows he's supposed to have a catchphrase, so he's got a catchphrase. It's like a catchphrase without the heart.
Okay, good point, yep.
I don't know, you know, that's how I see him, you know?
Sure. Well, okay, so yes, there's definitely that. Like, it's yep, 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 what it do. I apologize to all the rednecks out there for messing up your ringleader's catchphrase.
Right.
So, he's you're right, he's got that. He's kind of a natural on TV, but I don't care what he says.
Yeah.
He quoted Keanu Reeves from some movie, I can't remember what it was, The Harder They Come or something like that. That was a Jimmy Cliff movie.
The Harder They Act Poorly or whatever.
Yeah, seriously. He can talk, it just doesn't matter what the fuck he says. He's got an interesting look, but it's more of an indie look, like somebody who would stand out on an indie card. Like, you remember that huge guy with the bald head? As opposed to somebody who would stand out on the Raw roster, he'd probably get dwarfed by, you know, most of their guys. And then just the leather vest thing. I mean, Jesus. You know, how much bigger of a ripoff?
But,
yeah.
Like, this is a guy that has no chance of winning this, and they could have used, like, a million other indie guys, you know?
Yep.
Why couldn't they have used Colt for this, you know?
Seriously, goddamn, he would have been 10 times more entertaining, if not 11 times
more. Yeah, and I mean, he wouldn't have won, but it would have been a hell of a lot more fun, you know?
Yep, that's right.
And so why does Skip Sheffield deserve a spot instead of Colt? I don't see anything that would justify that, you know?
The only thing that justifies it is the fact that he won the jousting competition last night.
Sure.
And really,
sure.
What kind of justification is that? These games have been given the stigma of being diva search contests. It's like WWE just gave up trying a couple of weeks ago and dipped into their little bag of tricks, and this is what they came up with. And it's not like it helps, you know, honestly. Somebody the size of Daniel Bryan isn't going to out-joust somebody else other than, like, on a fluke. They're going to lose their balance, or they're going to step over whatever. So he's, in a way, he's kind of lucky Michael Tarver walked away. Let's see. I don't want to beat these. We love to beat a good horse around here, but so kind of talk to me about Michael Tarver then. So if you have him and Skip Sheffield down at the bottom of your list, why do you say that about Michael Tarver?
I just don't see much in him, you know? You know, he's just sort of some guy that's competing on the show. I really don't see, like, it should have been eight guys who could potentially win it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see that with him.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I kind of make some sort of case for, you know, like Otunga and Daniel Bryan, I can make a case for, and Wade Barrett, I can make a case for. I just don't know.
You mean the MMA gloves didn't sell you?
What's that?
His Michael Tarver's MMA gloves didn't sell you?
His official MMA gloves? No.
Yep. No, I don't see much in the guy. He's okay, but again, okay isn't going to cut it.
Right, exactly.
Then you get guys, okay, so obviously Daniel Bryan is the guy everyone's focusing on, and I'm really glad that he only got a little bit of exposure last night, because you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to spoon-feed everyone. You don't want to hold their hand and force Daniel Bryan down everyone's throat every single week. He didn't wrestle. Yeah, if I remember, he didn't wrestle. They didn't make a huge deal out of him losing his second-round contest in the Joust. And they just kind of left room for everybody else to do their thing. Like, they had a three-way match. They had, Heath Slater and Jericho. We'll talk about that in a second. Because you mentioned Otunga's name, talk to me about David Otunga. You said you could make a case for him being a superstar.
Sure, because of his look and because of his size.
Okay.
At first, I didn't like him. I still don't really like him. But, I mean, if we're talking about you're making a case for somebody, I think he is a potential, you know, WWE-type wrestler.
Sure, sure. Now, I agree with what you said. I agree with what other people have said. He's got size. He's got a build. He's got a look. He's got a willingness to cut things into his hair, which is actually interesting. I mean, yeah, I like to see he had A-list in his hair last night. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And it's hard to debate that he doesn't have or that he has charisma, because he does. My big problem with Otunga is how green he is as a wrestler. I saw it imminently as he wrestled the triple threat match, and Caldwell pointed it out too. He's very green, but he's very tentative in his moves. He doesn't bump hard. Yeah, tentative. He doesn't give moves hard. He runs the ropes like a pussy. And he tried to leapfrog over somebody or jump over somebody, and it looked like he just kind of like... I've seen women see a mouse and jump higher in the air.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of work to do in the ring to really emote, to really, like, you know, acting... You act to the back row of the arena, but when you're wrestling, you move... So everyone at the back row of the arena can see you, too. And Otunga just isn't doing that quite yet.
He's a guy that would... He needs, like, 2 years of Jim Cornette OVW, you know?
You mean FCW?
A terrible shame that they can't give it to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. I want to run down some of the other guys here quick. Darren Young got a win in the triple threat match last night. What do you think of CM Punk's rookie, Darren Young?
I like that, and I like the interplay of him with Punk's gang. It's always interesting.
Yes, it is.
It's a different dynamic.
And it gives something for Luke Gallows to do. Where do you stand with Luke Gallows these days?
Oh, I've always liked the guy. He has, like, this... I don't know, like this thing where it's like, oh, okay, he's something, you know? I don't like the name, but I do like what they're doing with him. It's exactly what I would do on some level. Punk is sort of like the modern-day Raven, you know?
Yes.
And they should give him a couple more guys.
Yes, definitely. He should... Punk, I think... If this were ECW with Paul Heyman, if it were still around, Punk would have the dog and pony show that Raven had.
Absolutely.
And it has nothing to do with covering up any weaknesses, because honestly, Raven had very few weaknesses himself. So
no,
it's
because wrestling is a show.
Yep.
And he's a heel, and you're doing a little show and getting them to boo him, you know?
Yep. Yep.
What it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good for Darren Young in his position to for the tease that he may join, he may not join. You know, one of the guys likes him, one of the guys doesn't.
Association. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's getting good rub out of this.
Yeah.
I'm still really bothered by his overall look, like the stupid hair and the fake bake.
Mm-hmm. Is he white? I don't know.
I think so. I think he is.
No idea.
Like, he looks like an Easter candy. Like, he looks like a life-size, like, chocolate.
Nice.
Like, you crack his shell, and there's just a white dude under there.
I knew you'd find it.
And actually, because Otunga and Darren Young were in the same match, I just noticed that, I mean, there's actually a big difference in the wrestling ability between the two.
Yeah.
I would rather watch Darren Young in a wrestling match than Otunga. I would rather probably watch Otunga do a promo than Darren Young, but whatever.
Sure.
Give or take.
But Young is, like, much more smooth and confident in the ring.
Yep, definitely.
Much more sure of himself.
Yep. Oh, let's see. Speaking of youngsters, Justin Gabriel, now that I've finally gotten a decent look at this kid, he's instantly likable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I like about him. Here's a guy with good moves that excite the crowd. I don't know if he's really talked yet or not, other than, you know, the little promo videos they do, but I don't know what...
I haven't seen him talk at all.
Okay.
So.
Despite that, and WWE's got a way of keeping their cruiserweight division, you know, guys who would qualify for that spot, silent. Like, I don't think Evan Bourne's ever talked.
Very little.
Or if he has very little. Taking that into account, though, what do you think of the prospects of a Justin Gabriel?
No, I think he has a lot of potential. He's another guy that I really kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
He's different, you know? A little bit different look to him. I got no problems with the guy.
Yep. Yep. Easy baby face right there, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just put him on a show. Put him on the show that Evan Bourne is not on. And
he occupies kind of the same space. So put him on the other show, you know. I tend to want to put guys like that on SmackDown, you know.
Sure.
Especially since he hasn't proven he can talk yet.
Yeah, you don't want to put him in front of a live camera if you're not sure he can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so the big thing, as far as I'm concerned, that came out of NXT on Tuesday night, Heath Slater, the rookie, the announcers were driving home the point that his opponent, Chris Jericho, 6-time world champion, record 9-time intercontinental champion, one of the most storied histories of any wrestler on the roster today.
Done it all!
Yeah, and Heath Slater beats Chris Jericho clean on a roll-up. He counters the walls of Jericho with a small package. In essence, outsmarts Chris Jericho. And then, Jericho throws a fit. It was Shakespearean in its beauty.
Yeah.
Brando should fucking undie and give him a standing ovation.
Brando should study his tapes. Yeah.
Yep. Tell me what you think of Heath Slater, and concurrently, what you think of Heath Slater getting a victory over Chris Jericho.
Well, I love that victory. You know, first of all, I love that victory. I loved how they did it. I loved how Jericho handled it. It was awesome. That's how you move a guy up the ladder. Beautiful.
Yep.
As far as, you know, a lot of these guys, like, I've only seen a few episodes of Next, you know?
Uh-huh.
And even from what I've seen, it's hard to kind of form a judgment, but I've got, like, generally positive feelings about Heath Slater, you know?
Okay.
He's another one that I, you know, he's good. He could be something.
Sure, sure.
You know, definitely worth taking a look at him.
Yeah, I think he could use some tweaking, and I'm not exactly sure what the tweaks would be. He's got an average build, but
doesn't that
I don't know
seem
if
to be the general consensus on these guys? Like, man, if they had 2 years in OVW, they'd be great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yep.
Everybody except Daniel Bryan, who doesn't need it.
Yeah, exactly. The last guy who needs any sort of developing, besides Loki.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, Heath Slater.
My general point there, just to quick sum it up, is like they're all missing something, you know?
Yep.
And I'm really not sure what. Like, it could be something different for each guy, but yeah, they all need to work on something to get to the next level.
Yes, and I don't feel like putting them immediately on Raw or SmackDown is the best way for them to get that couple of years extra experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to expose the product for what it is, which is, you know, I'm sorry, it's obviously fake, but you don't want, I don't know, like, I've got a real problem with Otunga's in-ring skill. You don't want David Otunga wrestling every week on Monday Night Raw looking wrestling the way he wrestles.
Right, exactly.
Daniel Bryan, yes, easy choice. You can put him on TV every week and it'll look legitimate.
Yep.
Heath Slater, I love the win, and I even, like, I had a smile on my face the whole time after the win, in part because I'm like, what the fuck, that was awesome, and because Jericho did such a masterful job of reacting to it, including cornering the referee and saying, you're stupid, over and over again. But, you know, Heath Slater needs to work out a little bit more. I hate his fiery red hair. He looks like a jackass. I'm still kind of drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. But, yeah, you're right. All of these guys need something. And I just, like, you know, when the season of NXT is over, when it gets the boot from Sci-Fi, probably, once SmackDown moves, and it's time for one or a few of these guys to move up, they're just not going to be ready yet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wade Barrett, maybe. Honestly, Wade Barrett, besides Daniel Bryan, is probably the closest to the total package.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the trick is, like, finally really getting a good look at him last night. Like, I saw him, they had an 8-man tag on one of their mini shows, and Wade Barrett stood in for Jericho, and he did okay there. But just getting a good look at him last night, he is a WWE superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a knock on him, but it is kind of a knock on WWE. I mean, he's like 6'3 or 4, weighs 250, has a good build.
The interchangeable head thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he might not be blonde, but he's got just kind of, you know, shaggier hair.
Same guy, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and he can talk. He's not great, but he's good. And he's a good wrestler. I mean, he's the prototype of a WWE wrestler right now. He, honestly, 10 years from now, people are going to be like, I heard Ted DiBiase Jr. died and they replaced him with Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's exactly who I was going to mention. He's about in the DiBiase range.
Yeah, he is. Again, not to knock on Wade Barrett, because he'll get a contract, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that pretty much covers NXT.
I was going to bring up one point. It's like, one thing that bugs me about the show is they seem very counterproductive in how they're marketing the young guys by continually pointing out their flaws.
Okay.
And I got an issue with that, you know?
Tell me, like, give me an example, and let me just interject quick. They did do something I thought was a step in the right direction, which was the videos where the pros were kind of analyzing the wrestlers, the rookies.
Sure.
But they did do a little bit of that, pointing out the negatives. They pointed out positives, too, but they pointed out some negatives there. So, like, what, I mean, were there other options?
Well, I mean, they shouldn't point out any negatives. That should be for the fans to figure out.
Yeah, okay.
You should not
be
telling the fans why this guy sucks in any way, you know? And Michael Cole seems to be dead set on doing that to Danielson.
Oh, God. He's the worst.
And it's asinine. There's no place for that.
Yeah. I mean, and there's only so much sympathy you can build for a guy when, A, it's Michael Cole talking shit. Because what the fuck has Michael Cole ever done? And then, B, when the wrestler loses every week. I mean, if he won a few, then, you know, like a good heel is a hypocrite. That would at least make Michael Cole look like a hypocrite, which would get you some sympathy for the babyface. Like, come on, man, why are you saying this shit about this guy? He's won a few.
Right.
All he's doing is making Daniel Bryan look worse.
When he loses every week, it makes the fans go, maybe he's right.
Yeah.
This guy's a bum.
Yep. So,
I
don't know.
Why would you ever put yourself in that position? I don't get it.
Right. The only thing is that Daniel Bryan is a shoe-in. They, if they don't have something planned for him and Miz when this is all over, then they have completely shit on a fantastic wrestler and a whole gimmick.
Which wouldn't surprise me, but really a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn produces an entirely new show just to shit on Daniel Bryan, and it would not surprise me either.
You know, for somebody who looks the way he does, he sure is caught up in the whole Hollywood looks thing. For being a Bucky Beaver-looking motherfucker.
He looks like if Jerry Seinfeld put a piece of scotch tape on his upper lip and pulled it all the way up to his forehead.
Ah, tremendous.
Stupid Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
Thinks he's so big.
He seriously is like the Baba Booey of WWE.
Nice.
Dumb guy who the boss likes for some reason, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And who ends up thinking he's way more important than he is.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see. Well, I'll tell you what, we're actually...
I can't hear the boss.
We are balls deep into talking about the WWE roster and the NXT roster.
Are we?
So why don't we, and actually I could make an easy transition. The thing is, I wanted to make the transition into the continued roster talk, but because I said balls deep, I could easily make a transition into Daphne getting hurt at the Impact tapings, and then Angelina Love also being hurt at TNA's Impact tapings. Since I mentioned balls, and I want to talk about hot chicks, can we just hit on those very, very quickly?
She's hot.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Actually, let me drop this on everybody. Just posted by Caldwell on the Pro Wrestling Torch website. NXT ratings came in, and it was a 0.9. So, it's actually gone down... pretty much downhill every week. There are a couple of ups, but it's slid from a 1.7 down to a 0.9 in 10 weeks' time.
I would say that's still pretty solid, though.
It's a great... Fuck, it's only a tenth of a point worse than TNA. Actually, it's only 500ths of a point worse than TNA did this week.
Right. Think about that, kids.
Seven rookies and Daniel Bryan are doing just as well as TNA.
Right.
Speaking of TNA, let's just knock these out quick. Speaking of knockouts, hey, it's funny I said knockouts. TNA knockout Angelina Love tore a bicep. Oh, my God, that just makes me sick to even think about. She tore a bicep and had some ligament damage. Let's see. After suffering an arm injury, this is via Caldwell of the Torch, at last night's TNA Impact taping.
Everyone knows the ultimate source of news in the insider industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, considering I read it at work today at prowrestling.net, and Caldwell even quotes .net on here, saying Angelina... No, yeah, imagine that. Angelina apparently caught her arm in Tara's knee brace during a tag team match taped for Monday's show.
What is Tara? Patrick Ewing?
Yeah. How
bionic knee brace? man.
You have to get your, that's a fucking arm and a knee brace. You have to get your, you have to be wearing a body cast to get your arm caught in it.
Yeah. Mhm.
What the fuck was she doing?
I don't know, man.
Literally, all I can think of was Tara tried to put her in a short arm scissors. There's no other possible explanation for getting your arm caught in a knee brace.
I know.
Lord.
Unless it's like a full body cast or something.
Right, yep, that's exactly
it.
I don't fucking know. Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter, let me see if I can find the actual tweet. It probably got pushed way too far down. Oh, yeah. So Dixie Carter actually writes on her Twitter that Angelina Love will be, quote, out a few weeks.
Okay.
Weeks? Idiot. She tore a fucking bicep. and it says a complete ulnar collateral ligament tear.
Wow.
Your ulna is one of your bones in your forearm.
Right.
It's attached to everything else by this ligament, and if it's completely torn, along with a partial bicep tear, she's not going to be out a few weeks, toots. Go take your daddy's pocketbook and buy a fucking biology book.
Who let her on the computer in the first place?
Who let her out of the kitchen and onto the computer?
Well, seriously. No, absolutely nothing about anything. God.
Oh, fuck.
Fucking crotch. Should not talk.
That's right. Oh, my God. Well, one more knockout, and I don't think Dixie tweeted on this, but Daphne was also injured at the TV tapings.
Then how do we know? How do we know if it wasn't tweeted?
Oh, it was. I apologize. It was tweeted. She has
a deeply
bruised sternum and a severe stinger, temporary spinal trauma, but no nerve damage. So I'm sure Dixie Carter probably thinks she can wrestle in about 4 hours or so.
Sure.
Fucking idiot. But what happened was, what I understand is that a new wrestler getting a tryout, her name was Ruth. And apparently she was a big lady. Like, I don't know if she's like Awesome Kong build or Bertha Faye build or what. Apparently sat on Daphne and injured her pretty badly.
Oh, God, TNA.
Yeah.
TNA. Okay.
Yeah, I think UGG TNA pretty much sums it all up.
So they let the inexperienced girl do something dangerous on one of their big names. Yeah, okay, got it.
Right, yep.
Yeah, got it. That's cool.
Hey, while you're at it, why don't you tell Sid to jump off the top rope and only land on one leg?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, if I recall... Oh, yeah. He'll be back in 4 hours. If I recall correctly, wasn't it the same brain trust at the top of WCW at that time as TNA has now?
Basically.
Fucking Russo, possibly Ferrara. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Bischoff was still there, unless he went on another vacation to Montana.
And let me address something here. Zura called me out. He was like, I thought I changed your mind on Terry Taylor. And I got to a place like where, okay, I can accept Terry Taylor as a wrestler.
Uh-huh.
But after what he did with Jim Cornette, just he's scum as a human being.
Yeah.
And that got me caught up in something, and I probably went overboard knocking him on that audio with Jeremy because just the scumminess of what he did took me to a bad place. So.
Fair enough. Well, it's like how I thought I had come around with Bret Hart at one point,
yeah.
Even though he's a whiny sack of shit. And then some...
Obviously not around anymore, yeah.
No, not so much. I don't know why either. I don't know if, like, absence made my heart grow fonder or what. But then he pulled those shenanigans at the wrestling museum and banquet when he talked shit about those two writers and then threatened to leave.
Oh, yeah,
like,
right.
Fuck you, Brett, leave. You're here to honor your dad. Get the fuck out of here if you're going to be a prima donna.
Well, everything is about him, basically.
Yep.
And that's Bret Hart.
That's just the way he is. Like Celine Dion would say, that's just the way it is.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
And that's the power of love!
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. Let me hit ignore on that.
I can assure you that I never bought that cassette.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. And you never listened to Mariah Carey's Christmas album over at a friend's house.
Oh, shit. There goes that battleship.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll
never forget that. Okay. We have one more topic, but this topic's going to take a while, so buckle your fucking safety belts, people, because we're going to talk about WWE's draft, which is coming up on a 3-hour special this Monday night.
And everybody's talking about drafts right now because the NFL draft is coming up, and
yep.
You know, you can feel a draft in your underwear. There's all kinds of drafts. Yeah.
Well, as Vince McMahon likes to say, or as the clip likes to say that they play over and over again, it's time to shake things up again.
Shake things up, okay. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Dusty and I decided to shake things up a little bit on our computers tonight. And we each went through, I hope anyway, I plan to post this on the main page once we're all done talking about this and the audio is up. Post these on stuntgranny.com so everybody can read them and share your thoughts and share our thoughts and fucking share some, I don't know, fucking sharing is caring. Well, anyway.
Just share.
Just share. Don't be a douche. So we took a look at the rosters, the overall roster of WWE, and basically split them up, Raw, SmackDown, however we felt the wrestlers fit, whether they fit better on Raw, fit better on SmackDown, whether they should move, whether they shouldn't move. We tried to come up with some decent rationale for why each wrestler should either stay where they are or move to the other roster. And, we just shot each other a couple of emails before the show, and I don't know, how do you want to go about this? Like, I'm looking through your roster, and I'm seeing a couple things that I definitely want to make note of. I don't know if you saw anything in mine.
Well, sure. You can go ahead and start. Just ask me what you want to ask me.
Well, one obvious parallel that I see here, you and I both left John Cena and Triple H on the top of Monday Night Raw as babyfaces.
Yep.
Can we just gloss over this? And realize the fact that
they're the two biggest names in the company.
Yeah.
So I would just assume they want to keep them on the flagship show.
Yep.
This makes sense.
And let's see. Also in the top tier of Monday Night Raw. Now you've got those two listed as baby faces. I'm guessing anyway. And the heels would be the Big Show, who you'd leave on Raw. But then you'd move
Big Show and Chris Jericho comes over.
Okay. And as you said, you said he's the best talker in the company, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well put him on the TV show full of talking.
Right. Yeah. And because he helps fill some of the role of Shawn Michaels. You know, the steady veteran who can have good matches against anybody. So
sure.
That was my rationale. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bounce through your email here and look at the top tier of SmackDown. You kept The Undertaker on SmackDown, which I did the same thing. I mean, that's his show, basically. It's weird.
No.
It's weird to see Undertaker on Monday Night Raw at this point.
Like how it used to be Raw was Austin's show and SmackDown was The Rock's show.
Right.
Now it's sort of like the same divide for Austin. Or not for Austin, for Cena and The Undertaker, you know?
Yeah. Yep, that's fair. And I, you know, if nothing else, hell, I could build to a Cena-Undertaker match somewhere down the road.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, I would actually, if this wasn't completely incidental, I would give WWE credit for doing that, but really they probably just fell into it.
Yeah, yep.
You also, let's see, you left Batista on SmackDown.
Sure did.
You moved Randy Orton.
I moved Randy Orton. I figure at least one big name guy is going to SmackDown. To me, it makes sense for it to be Orton, because if it was Big Show, it wouldn't be that impactful. And
right.
I really don't think it's going to be Cena or Hunter.
Right.
So basically only leaves Orton as the choice.
Yep.
And he's the kind of guy that can move around anyway without being damaged. He just seems to be the go-to guy for switching. So.
Yes. Yeah. And as I put on my write-up, you know, Cena and Hunter, A, aren't moving anywhere, like you just said. But B, if these three guys are, you know, and you can include Undertaker in there, even though he's basically part-time at this point. Cena, Hunter, Orton are your top three baby faces. There simply is not enough room on one show for all three of them.
That's right.
So add that to the fact that Cena...
Interest in evening things out. Mm-hmm.
Right, which is, yeah, that's actually... Let's talk about that quick, too, as soon as I get through the rest of your top tier of SmackDown. So Edge, you kept. CM Punk, you kept. And Rey Mysterio, you kept.
Right.
So you said balance, and that's really what I was going for when I did my write-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about mine here in a second. Or I'll let you ask me about mine, either way. But I guess my question for you is, what were you trying to accomplish with your top-tier shifting? Because you have, like, something in mind and goal.
Like, I have four guys on Raw and six guys on SmackDown in sort of top tiers. But I figure that of the four guys on Raw, they're bigger named guys. Like, Cena and Hunter... Oh, thanks for basically spitting right in my ear while I'm doing the audio. That's awesome. Like, Cena and Hunter are top two guys in the company, so, you know, they kind of weigh more on a scale than anyone else on SmackDown. So, in turn, and also because Undertaker's only part-time at this point, you need to have a few more guys on the SmackDown top tier.
Yep.
So basically that's my logistics for balancing it out. So, like, I see Batista as a heel, Punk as a heel. Edge can be either or. Orton's a babyface, Undertaker's a babyface, and Mysterio's a babyface. So it's kind of sort of even out there, you know?
Yep.
Heels to faces. There's some versatility. Orton can switch at some point. Batista can switch. Ad can always switch. So, you know, it's just gives you some nice options, basically.
Sure. Yeah, and Edge, actually, I'm going to go back to his reaction, the fan reaction to Edge at WrestleMania. He could switch. He's not liked everywhere he goes just yet.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He's not quite over as a babyface.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of should be. Could always turn heel as a drop of a hat. I think he could feud with basically anybody on the roster.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Nice guy to have, you know?
Yep. Let's see. I don't know. I'll ask you to ask me a question. But when you saw my top tier, what did you have in mind? What did you think? Given who I moved.
You moved some big name guys, and more than I did. You moved. I mean, let's talk about this, because you moved Batista and Punk and Morrison, who I also moved.
Yep.
So those are like your top three big moves. Those guys now on Raw.
Yes.
And, well, why did you move the big-name guys so much? I mean, obviously, Batista spent most of his time on Raw. Did that play a part in it?
Yeah, definitely. He'd been there so long, and, you know, for the last 2 months, he's pretty much been on the show every week. I figured it was just time to pull the trigger. Not to mention, as much as he talks about his acting and possibly retiring soon, not to mention as often he gets injured.
Sure, mm-hmm.
Well, what I wanted to do in my top tier, like overall, you'll see I have three Raw baby faces, but five Raw heels.
Right.
And I did that because Batista is likely to get injured or leave at some point or take time off. Maybe the same with Big Show. I'm not saying like he's in rough shape or anything like that, but he is, you know, he's knocking on 40 years old, and he's also 7.5 feet tall and 400 pounds.
Really more of a part-time guy.
Yeah.
That they're
hiding
in
the tag team spot. Yeah, exactly. But and you actually mentioned something brilliant, the fact that doing that, putting him in a tag team, especially with a young guy like Miz, is breathing life into his career.
Yeah. Like, if he was just a singles guy all the time, there's only so many things you can do with that.
Right. So, yeah, this is definitely a move in the right direction for him. It's just something to freshen up his character.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm left with is three baby faces on Raw, John Cena and Triple H, and I suggested pushing Morrison up to that top tier.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then for your heels, you essentially have CM Punk. I figured it would just be some fresh opponents, you know, a chance for him to feud with new guys. Nah, I mean, not that he wouldn't have that chance on SmackDown, because Orton would be new for him, Edge is returning from an injury, But something about seeing CM Punk on Raw and possibly feuding with Cena just excites me.
Sure.
So you got Punk, The Miz.
I think if he doesn't move this year, he'll move next year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe next year's a better time for him to move. But as far as what I've got, I don't know. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. So CM Punk, The Miz, and Sheamus. And I do consider Sheamus to be a top-tier wrestler on Raw at this point.
Very close, but he's not.
Yeah. With possible part-time Big Show and possibly injured Batista, you know, as just star power. So SmackDown, so I moved Orton over.
Yep.
Kept Undertaker and Edge. Let's see, Rey Mysterio and Great Khali. And
sure,
as I wrote...
We see Khali higher than everyone else does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But still, Khali is probably going to be out for a while, even though he came back during that horrible MacGruber skit.
Yeah, yeah.
Undertaker is going to probably take time off and be gone soon. So, essentially, you've got three baby faces here, Randy Orton, Edge, and Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
And then I suggested keeping Jericho on SmackDown. I said he's custom-made to be the top heel of a show, but especially one where he doesn't have to get stuck feuding with John Cena and Triple H.
I think it's definitely advisable to put him on the opposite show, Punk.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, because both of those guys could potentially be the number one heel, so why, you know, stifle one of them in favor of the other?
Why roadblock Punk by keeping Jericho on the same show? Yeah.
Yep.
I definitely advocate moving one or the other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kept Jack Swagger. I think SmackDown, if you're going to keep pushing him as a top guy, SmackDown is the better place to do it. And then I moved Christian. I suggested he be a heel, and I suggested he be a top heel. But he's very likable as a babyface. I don't see why maybe he couldn't be the babyface at the top if Edge ever had to switch.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went for some balance, taking into consideration people retiring, leaving, getting injured, taking, you know, leaves of absence, whatever, those sorts of things.
A guy like Undertaker, you can only count as like half a wrestler.
Right, exactly.
Because he's not going to be on the show every week. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. I'm going to go back to your grouping here. So back to Monday Night Raw. We've got the second tier of wrestlers. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, 9 if you count the Hart Dynasty as two separate guys.
Right.
So let's see. You're keeping Sheamus, Kofi, Ted DiBiase.
Right.
And then the moves that you're making, you're bringing over from SmackDown Drew McIntyre, which for the exact same reason that I am.
Yep.
Because if you're going to call him the Chosen One, then he better be the Chosen One on the Chosen Show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You also moved John Morrison.
Yep. And I'm totally with you on that. I mean, if he doesn't start out as a top-tier guy, you need to build towards that.
Yes.
Him and McIntyre, now's their time. Let them prove it, you know?
Yeah, you got to do it sometime, especially now with, you know, hell, I don't know. I could just name off a million reasons. Triple H, his neck hurts, so he's not going to wrestle full time. Kali is moving. He's going to be gone for a while. Taker's probably gone for a while.
Yep.
Jericho's going to leave for a couple of months. I mean, I know they tried with Sheamus and they're trying with Swagger.
Right.
But yeah, now is the time for John Morrison to get pushed all the way to the top to see if he can hack it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Like you said, step up to the plate.
Yep.
Talk to me about moving Kane over to Raw.
I don't know. I mean, it was like a numbers thing, basically.
Okay.
You know, it was just like one more guy to move over. There's no real good reason to move him over, but there's no reason to keep him on SmackDown either.
Sure, yeah.
He occupies the same space no matter where he is. He's just like a mid-card guy that people respect because of his longevity. Use him to put over guys like Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. You know, build guys up using him, you know?
Yep, exactly. And he can do that on either show because I think both of us swapped our mid-cards around just enough where Kane can help build younger wrestlers on either show.
Yeah.
I left him on SmackDown for the same reason.
Yeah, you'd use him in the same way I would use him on Raw. It's just...
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, you put Dolph Ziggler on Raw. Let's see, you compared him to Jack Swagger.
Yeah, he's sort of the same type of wrestler. Not at the same level, but if he's going to get there, it's going to be on the other show. That's how I see it.
Yep.
I thought about that one for a long time. He was the last decision I made.
Yep, okay, I see. Here's one I kicked myself for, though. I kept the Hart Dynasty on SmackDown because I kept Croft and Beretta there, too, and really those are the only two tag teams WWE has right now.
Yeah.
And my rationale was don't put them on different brands or else neither will have anyone to feud with.
Sure.
But
my
rationale,
it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't.
Makeshift teams, anyway.
Yeah, well, the reason I kicked myself is because Tyson Kidd, I've been singing his praises now for a while. You're right,
yeah.
He has it, and it's time for him to be a part of the A show.
Yeah, I mean, like, for the same reason I moved Morrison and McIntyre. Like, it's going to happen,
yep.
You know, so why not let him try?
Yeah.
And they are using that team as more of like a big deal thing now, so...
Mm-hmm.
This kind of makes sense to move him to Raw.
Right, yep. Let's see. And your second tier of SmackDown, you moved The Miz. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4 of these guys are moves. 1, 2, 3 have stayed. Okay, so you moved The Miz.
Right.
Because
they always do something wacky, and I figure a double switch of the secondary belts might be in order.
Yeah, yep. I kept Miz on Raw because I love him on a live show.
Oh, absolutely.
And on the A show. I really think that Miz just needs to stay on the A show, but I also suggested McIntyre could easily drop his belt to someone on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Cody Rhodes, you moved. Pretty sure, him up from DiBiase, right?
To split him up with DiBiase. I think one or the other is moving. So...
Oh, absolutely.
Basically a coin flip.
Yeah.
You know.
And honestly, that's what I didn't literally flip a coin, but figuratively, I was trying to figure out where to put both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of Cody on live Raw.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I put him over on SmackDown anyway. Let me check.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll remember. No, actually, I left him on Raw.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I decided that DiBiase needed to be atop the mid-card of his own show. But I feel like Cody is a little more natural on a live camera than DiBiase is.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
The only trick with that is I might have to switch Goldust over to Raw because I really think Cody Rhodes needs to feud with his brother, Dustin.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Well, you've got those guys on the same. Yeah, you've got both of them on SmackDown.
Yep.
Christian, sorry, I was jumping ahead. Speaking of, yep, Matt Hardy.
he exists, and he fills space. So.
Yep, he might still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Christian, Vince doesn't really like him, so move him over to the other show. That's awesome.
Yeah, the show that Vince doesn't care about, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
that's right.
Let him breathe more, you know?
Yep.
And there's natural interaction with him and Hardy and him and Edge, so...
Yep, true.
It makes logical sense.
And, of course, I had Christian interacting with Edge and completely forgot that he knows who Matt Hardy is.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's...
Because
there's...
everybody forgets who Matt Hardy is.
Yeah.
That's
so irrelevant.
Yeah.
Let's see, you got Swagger here and R-Truth.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ruin it. I'll let everybody read what Dusty wrote about R-Truth.
Yeah.
It's a thing of brilliance.
But basically just a reliable mid-card babyface, get the crowd into it kind of thing.
Yep.
He is what he is.
Let's see. What about... I'll lead you into a line of questioning here. I see Yoshitatsu, you're keeping in your third tier on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
How do you feel about me bumping him up to the mid-card?
I don't see how they do it. I'd love for them to do it, but I don't think they care enough to actually put the effort into the push. But
yeah.
If they do, it'd be welcome. They do seem
sure.
to like him, but I don't think they know exactly what to do with him either. So,
yeah.
How do you see it coming down?
I honestly, putting him on TV, and to me it's as simple as starting off with putting him on TV in featured single, not even featured, but singles matches. Just give him a couple of wins and to keep him on TV.
Because
been, his exposure has been spotty since he switched from ECW. He won a six-man tag. I'm pretty sure, I don't even think he got the pin. I think he just helped. I think he landed the big kick that set the opponent up for Evan Bourne's Shooting Star.
That's right, that's right.
So, you know, just a couple of wins on TV, and I've got jobbers lined up for days on Raw.
right, right.
You know, so I think that's step one. Step two, really, I hate to say it, is having someone like Michael Cole or Jerry Lawler gushing over him.
Gotta get behind.
Yeah. And then step three, when it's time for him to start working his way up the ladder, he can have good matches against Carlito.
Sure.
He can surprise a big guy. Like, I have Luke Gallows on my Raw mid-card because I moved him over with Punk.
Sure, sure.
You know, maybe he surprises Luke Gallows with a big kick.
Okay.
Something, you know. I think there are ways to create interest. I think it's, if anything's going to make it more difficult, it's the fact that he is the Japanese version of Evan Bourne, and I have them both on the same show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, by existing together, they hold each other back.
Yeah. I hope that wouldn't be the case, but it could definitely be.
Right, right.
Like, there was only one Taka Michinoku. Yet, for some reason... they're like 23 heels in the Cruiserweight division.
Right.
They're like Taka and Scott Putzky, and then like 400 heels, all from Memphis.
Right. 300-pound Scott Putzky. What a load of absolute garbage.
Yeah, Ivan's like, come on and eat, you pussy. what the hell else did I do? Oh, let's see. I moved Shad over to Raw. I think you did, too.
I sure did.
You kept him down a rung lower than I did, though.
Yeah, because I'm figuring it's going to take them a while to get behind him, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited for the possibility, though, of him, like, of him jumping John Cena at some point.
Sure.
You know,
I tend
to be
underrating the guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, erring on the side of caution, basically.
Right.
That's why guys like Morrison and McIntyre are in the second tier and why Shad is in the third tier.
Yep.
Instead of going one up. So.
Yep. Let's see, my SmackDown baby faces. I'm kind of skimming this in the hopes that people will go to our site and read our blogs too.
Yeah, do it, damn it.
But yeah, really, my mid-card on SmackDown, R-Truth, Matt Hardy, JTG, Kane, and Finlay are all guys who are already there. Dolph, Shelton, Ezekiel Jackson are all there. And my only two moves in the mid-card really are Ted DiBiase for the purpose of getting him away from Cody.
Sure.
But also Zack Ryder.
Yeah, if you want to use him in any kind of meaningful way, it's a perfect move.
Yes, and like I said, and I'll just read what I wrote, Raw already has one abrasive jackass known as The Miz, so for self-preservation, Ryder needs to insist on this move.
Beautiful, yep.
Yeah,
we talk so much about people occupying the same space. That seems to be kind of a theme. If you want to have, like, mirror image guys, I think Zack Ryder kind of is.
Yep. Yeah, he is Miz.
Yeah. Miz. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have Shad and Ezekiel Jackson on different shows.
Yeah, yep.
You know, because there's really only room for one monstrous black guy on each show. It'd be the same, and sorry, police, but it'd be the same if there were 2 7.5-foot-tall Indian guys. I'm sure I would probably put one on Raw and one on SmackDown. Let's see. I think that pretty much sums it up for the mid-card for both of us.
Yep.
your third tier, let's see, so you moved Shad over to Raw, and we talked about that and why. We want to get him away from JTG, of course.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another one where one or the other is for sure moving.
Yeah.
I would have to say. So.
Looks like pretty much everybody on Raw, other than Shad, Mark Henry, Yoshitatsu, Primo, Chris Masters, Chavo, Zack Ryder, Santino.
A few of those guys I would look to kind of move up, you know? Maybe Yoshitatsu, maybe Zack Ryder, and definitely Shad.
Look at
those guys, put a rocket booster up their butts, and try to get them into the second tier. Couple of the second-tier guys move up to the top tier.
Yep. And definitely my favorite line of the entire write-up, Chris Masters, blah, 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 could be fired at any time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just get the feeling that he's collecting a paycheck for no particular reason. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Raw's third tier for you. SmackDown third tier. JTG, which we talked about, Carlito, get him away from Primo.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's basically occupying the same space that MVP is, so why not split those two up?
Well, he's in the same sort of position anyway.
Yeah.
And Evan Bourne is Yoshitatsu, so move one or the other.
Yep.
Luke Gallows, we talked about. Croft and Beretta, no idea what to do with them, but they're there. Shelton Benjamin could be a second-tier guy. I don't know, you know.
He could be if they give him, you know, if they try with him again.
Yeah.
It's like they just don't care that they have Shelton Benjamin on their roster.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, if Chris Masters is collecting a paycheck, Shelton Benjamin is just being given a paycheck. Like, WWE just mails it in with Shelton Benjamin every other week.
You know, they always fire like 5 to 10 guys around this time of year. Wouldn't surprise me if either one of them or both were among those getting fired.
That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I still love,
because Benjamin had real potential at one point.
Hell yes. I could fantasy book until I'm dead.
Yeah.
If somebody would give me some fucking money to start a wrestling league, the fucking instant I find out that Shelton Benjamin's contract is up, I am putting a contract under his nose, I'm driving a brand new car up to his house, I'm making a championship belt and just etching his name into it. I don't understand how WWE doesn't see it in this guy.
Yeah.
maybe there's just something that we all don't know. Like, Shelton just doesn't give a fuck. Like, he'd rather play video games. I don't know.
Maybe he's a dick in real life or something. You know, I don't know.
Who knows, man? And then, yeah, so you've got, let's see, Great Khali, the SmackDown version of Mark Henry. Kung Fu Naki, the SmackDown version of Chavo.
Yep.
Yep, that pretty much says that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I kept all my jobbers the same, didn't I? I don't think I moved anybody.
I don't think so.
I can... Let's see. Yeah, just left.
Oh, uh-oh.
Can't take that call yet either. I've gotten two calls. That must mean it's almost time to wind up.
Yeah, very important person here that I'm talking to.
Jesus, I guess.
Oh.
Let me go through a couple of guys, though. You fired the guy, like, one, two, three,
yeah.
four, five of the guys that I kept in jobber roles.
I kind of like, you know, just sort of guessed. Because, like I said, you know there's some firings coming, so I just kind of guessed on who makes sense. Like I said, Shelton and fucking, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank here. Who are we talking about?
Masters, yep.
Chris Masters and Shelton could be two of the names.
Yeah.
But I listed Kurt Hawkins, Jimmy Yang, Slam Master Jay, Kozlov, and Mike Knox as the guys that I thought would get fired.
Yep. And I'm brokenhearted about the Mike Knox thing. I have him as a jobber only because that's all the more WWE sees in him, and it's sad.
I thought long and hard about, like, moving him to Raw. Possibly, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with him. They don't seem to think anything of him.
I know. It fucking breaks my heart old country way.
Yeah. Nice! WWE, you breaking my heart.
Yeah. Oh, God. The only thing I can hope is that, I don't know, a mid-card spot opens on SmackDown or someone gets hurt and they realize that they have a fucking gold mine in Mike Knox.
He's so different and interesting. I don't know why they don't get it.
I don't know. I don't know a lot of things that they don't get.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the moves. We pretty much talked about everybody, whether we moved them or not. I think rather than getting any more in-depth, that maybe we should just let everybody read these on StuntGranny.com when we post them.
Yeah, like you can read them, make your own predictions, tell us why we're imbeciles. Go ahead. Do it.
Yep. Cool. Well, I think that I'm going to sign off because I need to make these phone calls stop coming. And it's also about time for me to go to bed.
Yeah. You're an old man with a job. Wow.
Oh, my God. What a turd I am. So, all right. Well, I'm going to do the sign-off duties first and tell everyone thanks for still checking in with Stunt Granny. Thanks for listening to the audios. Keep an eye out for our blogs, and we will see you shortly.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson, I am Dusty Giving. This audio has been just all right for me, dog. But we'll try to do better next time.